Today we are doubly blessed. We have two messages. First of all, I'm going to ask Joe to come and for the Church of Pentecost. And so let's open up our hearts and our ears and give full attentiveness. Kids, you can be dismissed. And God bless you, Joe.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, that sounds way better. Okay, so let us pray. Father, you're an awesome God. We give you thanks and glory. May you speak through your servant today that all of us may be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to speak, for maybe 10, 15 minutes or very short. And the sermon I'm going to talk about is called Stock Taking. We're taking stock. Usually when I'm asked to speak or teach, I'm looking for something that I can benefit from, which is a little bit selfish, but I look through it as like, okay, so what is it that I need to do correct? There's something that I need to fix myself. So it's easier if there's something that I need to fix, it's easier to kind of research and say, oh, I need to fix that. So it's easier to talk about something that I need to fix. So it's a lot easier. So I took a message, which is stock taking. Now, for what I do for work, it's interesting that what I do for work, I take stock. I'm not an accountant. I'm an engineer. But I take stock of companies, how they're doing for maintenance. I just got back from a mine in Nova Scotia, in a place called Moose River Mine. And what I do is I'm going to go to the mine and take stock and say, what are you doing? Are you doing the right maintenance for this equipment that you've invested so much on? Companies spend billions and dollars. You go downtown, they have skyscrapers that they've spent billions building it. And we always ask them the question, are you maintaining it the same way you're pouring money into it? So that's what I do for a living. Now, it wouldn't be good to kind of talk about stock taking without talking about what's happening in the stock market. So he says, I was talking to a friend. He says the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is something that companies have put together with those who deal in stocks, know about. They said it's gone up by what, 7.2% this month alone. And it says there's another one. It's called the S&P 500. It's posted its best first half of the year since 1997, moving up 17.3%. If we come home to Canada, it says RBC has gone up somewhat like 11.3%. Now, what does all this mean? Today, what we want to talk about, taking stock of our spiritual living. God has given us certain things, especially time, our talents, and our resources. And mid-year, this is June, we've gone from January to June. And what I want to entreat you, including myself, is to sit back and say, have I used my time wisely for the first 6 months of the year? Have I been a good steward of the things that God has given me, the talents that God has given me? Have I used it wisely for the first 6 months of the year? What about the resources? Now, a lot of people think, money, some of us don't have money because maybe God thinks if we had money, we would not use it well. So that's why probably I don't have any, because God is thinking if I have it, I may not use it wisely. God, I will use it wisely, I promise. So there are a few verses here that I wanted to read through for you. It says Psalm 31:15. It says, my times are in your hands. And then we look at Ephesians 5:16. It says, making the most use of the time. We all hear when our parents tell us, make hay when the sun shines. Make hay while the sun shines. So today I'm entreating you in these few minutes to just ponder. What have I done with the time? What have I done with my resources? Have I been a good steward? I mean, some of us have decisions that we have to make. Financial decisions that we have to make, and we sweep them under the rug. Some of us have made promises at the beginning of the year to spend within our means, but we're not doing that. The credit card bills comes, and then we throw it under the bed. We don't want to see it. There are people that God has spoken to us to go make amends with them, but we ignore that message from God. There are things, the businesses that we have to start, the schools, the things that we have to do, and that still small voice keeps telling us, you need to do this, but we ignore it. It is God speaking to you. God will not come in that voice that spoke to Moses or Abraham. Sometimes he will. But the circumstances that come before you, the things that you see, the things that you read, that remind you of things that you have promised yourself as a believer. That's God speaking to you. Let's use our time wisely. Let's use our resources well. It is not coincidence that God builds a church and there's an accountant, there's a lawyer, there's a school teacher. By the way, shout out to the Sunday school teachers. Sunday school teaching, there is no greater evangelist than a Sunday school teacher. Coming from somebody who has been a missionary, I was a missionary with the Youth of the Mission, there is no greater evangelist than a Sunday school teacher. Taking the minds of young children and speaking faith and wisdom and secrets of God into them. I can still remember being 4 or 5 years old and hearing the story of Noah for the very first time and going when I'm thinking, wow, can it fit into all that ark? Did it actually rain? That curiosity. So shout out to the Sunday school teachers. I will close off with a stock taking that Moses did, Psalm 90, verse 10. It says, Lord, you have been my dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day had just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You who sweep people away in the sleep of death, they are like new grass in the morning. In the morning, its springs are new, but evening, it's dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified at your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All the days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with the moon. Our days may come as 70 years or 80. if our strength endures. Yet the best of them, but trouble and sorrow, for they are quickly past, and we fly away. May God bless and keep you. May God honor the whispers that you have spoken in your hearts. And may he give you faith and humility to accept his word. Amen.
Thank you for sharing that. Just a great word for June 30th, halfway point of 2019. A reminder about some of the resolutions we made back on January 1st, and just to take stock. I want to read from Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, onto the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. King's Community Church, Church of Pentecost in Oakville. Two congregations, two different pathways, two ideas about what church is to look like. And here we are together, worshiping Jesus in one place in unity, an expression that is a fragrant offering to the Lord. In marriage, there's two lives, two families, two individuals making a commitment to live as one, to love, to understand, to sort through differences, to forge one path together. Joy, strength, and blessing. How blessed it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. A friendship, two unique experiences, backgrounds, stories, forged together, finding a common ground, finding a place where they stand together. Blessing. How beautiful it is, how fun, how pleasurable it is, energizing. Unity is a blessing. Friendship is a blessing. Partnership is a blessing. The psalm that I just read puts an exclamation point on it. It's like it just hammers it home how good, how blessed it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. Psalm 133 is one of those songs that were written in the Psalms. It was almost as if the people, when they would make their journey from wherever they would be, and they would be making their journey to church. They were going to church. They were going to Jerusalem. They were making their way to Jerusalem. And on their way to Jerusalem, they would sing these songs, and they would sing these songs and pray these songs together to each other. And it was originally thought that this psalm that we just read was a dedication of the temple, a celebration of the height of what God had called his people to. It was a simple prayer of thanksgiving, celebrating the richness, the blessedness of unity. And it really gives us two pictures in this psalm, two different similes, and it makes one point. And the point is, in case we don't get it yet, unity is a blessing. It's a good thing. The oil that runs down Aaron's beard is one picture. The dew that falls down from Mount Hermon may be inviting us in some ways to look heavenward. But there's some alternate titles that I could have used for this message today. I could have said, two brothers, two mountains, and a whole lot of liquid love. Or another one might have been, why the Lord loves mountain dew. Anybody like mountain dew? Every time you're going to drink Mountain Dew now, you're going to think Psalm 133, how good, how blessed it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. Song of Pilgrimage. If you've ever lived in a home, if you've ever worked in an office, a school, or a factory floor, if you've ever worshipped in a church where there was a strong sense of disunity, you know what it's like, and you know what you long for, to be in a place where there is unity. And so this is a call and an affirmation of that which is good. The bottom line here is that unity is a good thing. How good is it? Well, it says it's as good as oil poured out on Aaron's head, running down his beard. I don't have a beard, don't think I could ever do it, and over his robes. My brother, my younger brother, he's 2 years younger than I am. And for a while, he was growing this beard. Thank goodness he shaved it off. It's like, it was so long. Like, he had a beard that was, like, down to here, and it was gray. And he just looked, he loved it. People around him, some had different eyes. But I'm picturing him right now. My brother with this beard, like Aaron, having this long beard, and this oil that was poured out, just kind of flowing down this beard, down onto his robe. And with all the songs, I want to suggest that there is more to this than just all of the oil being poured out on somebody. To the Palestinian Jews who were witnessing this dedication of the temple, or who were making his way to worship God at this temple, they knew that this gift of unity was not just a fuzzy, warm feeling. They knew that it was something that was birthed in pain and forgiveness. Hear me. It was birthed in pain and forgiveness. It was truly a life-giving gift of God. The story that David is referring to is when Moses, the brother of Aaron, anointed Aaron to become the priest over the people. This unity that was formed apart from was not formed apart from much heartache, pain, and betrayal. Let me just remind you, from the story of Moses and Aaron, Moses was chosen as the leader of the people of God out of bondage into the new land, the promised land. Aaron was his older brother. And when Moses said, well, I can't really talk, God said, okay, I'm going to appoint Aaron to speak for you. And so Aaron became the spokesman for Moses. And and eventually he became that man who was the priest and became the father of all the priests in the people of Israel, among the people of Israel. And the story is known by the people of God. They know what happened in that history because there was a point where Moses went up to the mountain and he was talking with God. And while he was up there with God, the people got kind of antsy and didn't know what's going to happen. Where is Moses? I think he's gone. I don't know. What's up? And so he's down on the mount. The people are together and Aaron tried to keep the people together and he created this cow out of gold, a Baal. And he incited the people, encouraged the people to worship this Baal. And while all this was happening, Moses was having fellowship with God up on the mountain. And he comes down and he sees this and his heart is broken. God's heart is broken for his people. In fact, God wanted to destroy the people of God. He wanted to, you know what, I'm going to start again with you, Moses. Forget this. And Moses interceded, not only for the people of God, but also he interceded because God was very angry with Aaron and would have destroyed him. And Moses prayed for Aaron at the same time. Despite this sin, despite this rebellion, Moses follows through on God's instruction and he anoints Aaron as high priest, the chief worship leader of the people of God. That's why when he talks about this oil falling on his head, he's talking about this anointing that Moses poured this oil over Aaron. There was a lot of pain in there. There was a lot of brokenness in there. There was sin. There was rebellion. But despite that, hear this, folks, unity was birthed out of the grace of God, the goodness of God, the favor of God. And so when they talk about how blessed it is when people live together in unity, it's like oil poured down on Aaron, on flowing through his beard, over his cloaks, because he realizes and recognizes and affirms that was their story. But the story going forward was the grace of God, the love of God, that which carried them. And that's the blessedness of unity. It is the grace of God at work in our lives. God is full of grace and forgive us. And whenever we remember that, our lives have been forged in the fire of forgiveness. That's what unity is about. In our relationships, in our workplaces, in our families, in our homes, in our friendships, there are moments when we are hurt, we are let down, we are disappointed. People even harm us with their words and with their actions. But in the grace of God working in our lives, we're able to forgive. We're able to find a way forward. That's unity. That's unity, a gift of God's grace. The second picture that's here is the picture of Mount Hermon. It's as good as dew on Mount Hermon flowing down on Mount Zion. Actually, just last week, I saw Mount Hermon. I took a look. It was a little bit in the distance. You know, it's the only mountain that here and near the end of June, it's actually at the edge of the Holy Land in Israel. I wasn't in Israel, in Lebanon, but from Lebanon I could see it. It's the only mountain that still has snow on it. Can you believe it? There is still snow in the Middle East on a mountain, and that was Mount Hermon, because it is so high. David mentions unity is like the dew which descends from Mount Hermon and covered Mount Zion. Mount Zion was like a little hill compared to Mount Hermon. Mount Zion is where Jerusalem is. It's on a hill. Mount Hermon is the highest mountain of the eastern Mediterranean. This image of unity that's conveyed is through the life-giving dew, the dew that is transferred from the much lower Mount Zion to the much weaker and inferior Mount Zion. Mount Zion, the mount upon which Jerusalem is built. Mount Zion is made the center point here of earth because that is where God dwells because of his choice. In the same way as Moses, the stronger of two brothers, uses strength on behalf of the weaker brother, so also Mount Hermon shares in this life-giving strength with Mount Zion. Both pictures demonstrate the blessedness of unity. Through the depth of this imagery, oil flowing down, dew coming down, I hope we can understand a bit more, and we see that unity here that is celebrated is birthed out of grace. It is birthed out of God's choice of us, that he chooses us, that he calls us, that he loves us, not because of our strength or goodness, but because of the strong stooping down of the weak to the weak, giving life. Think what that could look like in practical terms. The strong reaching down to help the weak. I think in every relationship, there are seasons where one person, where one part of the relationship may be stronger than the other. It's not always the same part. The picture of unity that we see here is that the life-giving encouragement and strength flows from the stronger to the weak. The strong does not forge ahead without regard for the weak. The strong pours strength into the weak. The weaker receives strength and is encouraged. I know in marriage, sometimes there are seasons of weakness, of discouragement, and challenges for me as a husband. And it's amazing how God uses the strength of Claudia to come alongside and to bring encouragement. And sometimes, and I hope and I'm sure, it works the other way around. When there's weakness, that I can pour strength and encouragement into her life. The outflow or the overflow of unity is life. Unity is life-giving. Psalm 133 is a prayer of thanksgiving, a celebration of the gift of unity, a little taste of which we can experience today. Before Jesus returned to heaven, he prayed this prayer, and he said, "My prayer is not for them alone," speaking of the disciples. "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Oh, what a wonderful message. That the world would know that you have sent me is an expression of the body of Christ in unity. "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. It is a good and pleasant thing for brothers and sisters to live together in unity." What does that look like for us as followers of Christ? Someone who we need to forgive, someone who has been united with others in the local church. How does the world know Jesus has come but through our unity, through our love for one another? The real challenge in this day and age where the world knows the church more for the things we stand against is that we would be known for the things and for the way we stand up for each other, that we stand up for those who are broken, those who are hurt, those who are wounded, that we would be the love of Christ expressed in tangible ways in this world. This morning, we're going to celebrate communion, celebrate communion as an expression of this love that we have experienced, and that it would be as an overflow of God's love in our hearts and in our lives. Communion is a celebration of the life-giving grace of God poured out on us through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. It is a moment where we take the bread and we take the cup and we reflect upon that which unites us. We make a public declaration that it is all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus' grace and love poured out on our behalf. And so we celebrate this morning with a prayer. God, may my life, unified in You, united with this people, be a life-giving force in the place that You have called me. In my family, in my workplace, in my school, in my community, and in my church. May Your love, forged out of pain and brokenness, poured out for me, may that love overflow in my world as an expression of Your unity.